45. And I'd like to begin reading with verse number 9. Psalm 45. Began reading with verse number 9. And read down through verse number 17. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord, and worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy silver. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, when thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. May God add his blessings now to the reading of his word. Bow your heads with me in prayer, and everyone praying for me and with me. Father, thank you again for this moment you have given me to stand behind this sacred desk and to break the bread of life with this so great a congregation of people. I ask you now that you will make me a blessing, both to this church and to this pastor, that you'll anoint me to speak for you and not just talk about you. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand. May we leave this place both challenged and changed by the power of the priest's word. Anoint the altar service. And again I ask, your will be done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. I want to talk to you for a little while on the subject, the bride. The bride. The king's daughter. Here we have an introduction of the king's bride in these verses that we read. Two things to notice about the words daughters and daughters. One writer states that they're maids of honor. The Bible called them honorable women. They were tributaries to the king and dependents on the king. And there is the term daughter, which would be of a greater rank of a close relationship to the king. The Hebrew word implies that she is the apple of the king's eye. The apple of the king's eye. You see, the Holy Spirit seems to draw a comparison among the redeemed in rank. We can either be the bridemaid or the bride. The choice is ours. First of all, verse 9 talks about the bride's coming. We see that the queen is introduced in the most casual and offhand manner as a second thought, because the king is still in the foreground of the writer's thoughts. In fact, the psalmist says, my heart is inviting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. We should be so overcome with the love of our lives that it is no problem for us to glorify him, to worship him. And so we know very little as to who this queen is. We can speculate as to who she really is, whether Hephzibah or the daughter of Pharaoh. I would rather think the first, Hephzibah, the queen of Hezekiah, the mother of Manasseh, and her name, oh, I like this, I like this. Her name means my delight is in her. This is my delight. You know, I was born way down in Georgia. And I was traveling as an evangelist when I met my wife way up here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, the Bible talked about the fact that Eve became the rib of Adam. I had no idea that my rib had rambled 1,075 miles. But I found her. Woo! Hallelujah. I can imagine when God created Eve, that Adam looked at her and said, whoa, man. There's more to it, I can promise you that. So, my delight is in her. But see, the queen has no past, but she has a future. She has a future. Like the church, God has blotted out our past. Aren't you glad that He forgave you of your sins? Aren't you glad He has the ability to forget? He's cast them into the depth of the sea and to remember them no more. And I added a bit to it and said, He stuck up a no fishing sign and dares the devil to bait a hook. Hallelujah. He forgave me of my sin. He blotted out my past. Now, when we think about blotting, you know, we would think as if it was smoking the page. No. The word blotting in the Holy Scripture means that He lifted it off the page. It's not even a change. It's not there. Well, you ask me why I'm happy. Just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the Father that asks me where they are, I just say, my sins are gone. There, underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. He blotted out our past and has given to us a bright future. All we have now is the future. The guilt is gone. It's done away with in Christ. A future is bright and blessed at the very throne of God. I'm talking about the bride's coming. The bride's coming. Now, the entrance of the bride is very instructive here. One moment, she's not there. The next moment, she is. And that's what was the church suddenly injected into history. One moment, there's no church. The next, there was. The day of Pentecost, the church appeared. She became the tongue and sword of the King. His blood-bought bride now she occupies eternity along with Him. Apart from Him, she would have no future. But she has come. Why? She has been called. Oh, yes, she has. She has been called. She has been called. And so when we look at verse 10 and 11 of the psalm, hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. You see, there's three things here I want us to look at first in this calling. First, she is to want her Lord more than anything in the world. To make a complete break from the old way of life and take on a new way of life centered on Him. So it ends with the church and her relationship with Christ. more than anything else in the world, I want him. More than anything else in the world, I want him. I was preaching a revival in Covington, Kentucky several years ago. And there was a family came in. You could tell they were people of means. They were dressed very nicely, very mannerly. They came in, sat down. And as I preached that morning, I noticed the man, who was the father, the husband, he wept openly. He didn't even try to hide it. He just wept openly. And I gave the altar invitation, and lo and behold, he got up without hesitation, went to the altar, and came and began to pray and weep. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. Finally, I'm kneeling across the altar from him, and he looks up at me and he said, "Preacher, I found what I've been looking for." Well, I want him to testify, of course. But testify. He stood. He said, "You don't know me, but I am a doctor. I have more than a heart to wish for. I have above average means. We dress in the finest. We live in the nicest home. We drive the best automobiles." But he said something was lacking. He said, "I have been around the world trying to find what I found this morning. But," he said, "I finally found it." Hallelujah. "I finally found it. I found Jesus." Hallelujah. Nothing matters in life. I want him more than I want anything else. I love him more than I love life itself. When we reach that point, I'm telling you, what a relationship. There's two things about a woman that she desires more than anything. Two things. Two of the most important things. And that is trust and love. I'm not talking about some physical act. I'm talking about being loved, wanted. You know, that woman, whenever that husband leaves the house, she wants to know that between that front door, his work, and back again, that there's nobody else. She's the only one. And all of you, she's the only one. And that love, you have to want to be loved as a person. Everybody wants to be loved. Hello. Now, if those two things are ever broken, they're very hard to ever restore. Hello. Two things that a man desires. It doesn't matter. Two things. First, to be loved. And to be worshipped. To be Lord, not to be a iron system. I'm the boss. Wait. The Bible said concerning Abraham, "I know him that he will command his household after him, not by an iron fisted rule, but by an example." And he wants to be worshipped for heaven's sake. "Hey, honey, I finally painted the Pope house." "Well, you old couch potato, you've been needing to do that for about 4 or 5 years. That ain't what you wanted to hear." That ain't what he wanted to hear. Now he wanted to hear, "Oh, honey, you did a good job." Now you know where I'm going. There's two things about the church. Number one, trust. To be able to trust the Father. To know that He is unwavering. And then to be able to love that intimacy. My God. He's everything to us. And then the only thing that God desires is for you to make Him the Lord of your life and to worship Him. You see that the contrast is true. It's so important, if you will. She wants her Lord more than anything else. How can, oh, daughter, children, and incline thy neck again also thine own people and thy father's house. Secondly, she is to win her Lord. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, the beauty of her character, the church being espoused to Christ as a chaste virgin, that there is no other. There is no trifling. Hallelujah. Oh, there is no trifling. Nobody can take his place. Nobody can take his place. You say, when I listen to the mourning of the dove, it has only one mate. And when you hear that lonesome sound as that dove mourns for its mate, I'm telling you, the holy power of God Almighty, the Spirit of God, mourned. Oh, come on. Where is that mate? Where is that heart? Where is that person? Where is that soul? I want to inhabit it. I want to inhabit it. I want to have a relationship. I want that intimacy to be there. Listen, the Holy Ghost of heaven is here for one purpose. He is preparing the bride for that day. Hallelujah. When Jesus will come for his church. Oh, hallelujah. To win her Lord. To win her Lord. I like that, you see. And then thirdly, she is to worship her Lord. Verse 11, he said, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. You know, there's something different about a person that when they come, they have to be coached. They have to be coerced into worshiping God. Now come on, let's all raise our hands. Now come on, let's worship. Now come on, let's. There's something wrong with that picture, brother. There's something wrong with that picture. When I get here, Lord, I come in. I love you, Jesus. Lift my hands. It's no problem. He said it is burst out on you. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. What is it? I'm in love. I'm one that's fixing to be married. I'm fixing to be a spouse to the love of my life. And we're going away to our eternal home that he's prepared after a while. Oh, hallelujah. And so I worship him. None like him in heaven. On earth, there is none like him. Oh, that must be the way it is. That must be the way it is. Oh, yes, to that bride's joy. I want that Lord. I want to win my Lord. I want to worship my Lord. Not only does the bride, we talk of her coming, we talk of her calling, but we talk of her courtship of her company. You see, here in Psalm 12, verse 12 of Psalm 45, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat to thy favor. Here we see the bride as a queen. Evaluated, not because of her own merits. She is there because of her relationship with the king. You see, Tyre was a great mercantile city, the capital city of the Phoenicians, located on the North African coast. Tyre hastened and acknowledged this bride. You say, Tyre knew that the power of one who had the ear of the king. They knew the queen had the ear of the king. Hallelujah. And for Tyre was a type of the world. You see, the world should be beating down on our doors because the bride, the church, has the ear of the king. The king will listen to us. It must be. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. We have his divine favor, if you will. That divine favor. Oh, yes, sir. Why? I'm his bride today. I'm going to soon be at his side. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. I have hope. I seek to please him. Hallelujah. I'm committed. I'm not trifling. I'm loyal. Oh, my God, have mercy. Hallelujah. The world ought to want what we have. Hallelujah. One lady went to the psychiatrist. She walked in. She had a fried egg on top of her head. a strip of bacon over each ear. True story. The doctor said, "How can I help you?" She said, "Oh, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for my brother." Makes me wonder what he was having. It should never be in the city of Beaumont that this world should ever go to any place else for them but to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here this city of God, hey, look, we may have goods, and we may be a mercantile city, and we may have riches, but we don't have the favor of the king. We want the favor of the king. Hallelujah. We want the favor of the king. The company of the bride. The company of the bride. The rules of the bride's covenant. In verses 13 through 14, he says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework." Isn't the righteousness that Christ brought to us a salvation that is wrought in us, sanctification? The king's bride is glorious within. More worried about the inward man than the outward. If the outward man will perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The most important thing is not the physical, but the spiritual. We come to seek, we come to find, we come to discover in Christ a life unlike any that the world could ever offer. It can't be discovered through the wiseacres of this world. It will not be found in the intellectualism of our society. But I can tell you, only in the simple faith and trust in God Almighty to say that Jesus loves you means that you're a very intelligent and wise person. If you believe that, and that is a reality in your life, hallelujah. Oh, yes, that Jesus loves me. Nothing else in this world will matter but that. Hallelujah. Yes. It's here in verse 9, it talks about her standing at thy right hand. It speaks at the revolution of nearness within the inner court. The clothing is not gold. Gold is a type of the divine. Somebody said that to a Jew. I've never researched this. That's what I heard. But someone said to a Jew, if you speak of gold, if we know gold, that it's an instant. They believe that the gold that he's talking about is the holiness of God, the purity of God, the righteousness of Jehovah. Wow. So here he talks about the gold as being a type of the divine, the very character of God. In the tabernacle, the board, the golden altar, the table of shewbread, bread, the ark overlaid with gold, also the articles and later the walls of the temple are all overlaid with gold. The world is a type that represents humanity. But here, now it could be seen because none of it could be seen because of the gold. All we see now is Jesus. We don't see the humanity. One fellow said concerning Mephibosheth that when he was sitting at the king's table with the tablecloth all around his crippled feet, someone said all of his crippled things were covered up. He couldn't see them. Aren't you glad for the blood? Aren't you glad for the blood? Thank God nothing can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. When we talk about the holiness of God, it must be that when the world looks upon us, that all they see is the righteousness of God. Wow. You see, the bride, being a type of the church, is clothed with divine life. You see, the Bible talks about being partakers of the divine nature, the remnant of needlework. It's the workmanship of the Holy Spirit incorporated in our life. Let Him work on us. I pray time after time, sanctify me under your will. Sanctify me under your way. Sanctify me under your word. Let the Spirit of God sanctify this heart. Purify this heart. Prepare this heart. Empower this heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. And then we see the bride's companions. When we talk about verse 14, he said, "He shall be brought into the king and reign with me to work. The virgins her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With kindness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace." The bride is not only one in the kingdom. There'll be many others. I can tell you the saints of all ages will be there. The Old Testament saints. The tribulation saints. I can promise you, those in the millennium, I can promise you will be there. A great multitude which no man can number, all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. These are the virgins, her companions that follow her. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west. They're coming from the north. They're coming from the south. I can promise you, we're going together that day. You've never seen anything like it. I don't want to miss that moment. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss that moment, man. I've had the opportunity to perform a few wedding ceremonies. My wife's pastor was a nervous type fella, and he told me, he said, "My son, don't work too many weddings if you can't get some more." And the nerve-wracking thing there is, they put him in the bed, and he gets the nervous and sick. Well, I've been always been the kind of person I want it to work when it comes back. You know, I want everything to fall in place. I want it to be good. So I had the opportunity to perform a few weddings at the moment. Well, we had laid out the plan and studied and practiced and got prepared, and then come the day of that wedding. There was everybody from all over the world. I could tell some of them never had their coat out of the closet for a while because they smelled like mothballs and they had it zipped on up under their chin. They're sitting there as stiff as a fireball. They couldn't move. Little by little, out there. They're playing the song. But all of a sudden, bam, bam, bam. Of course, it was prettier than that. You know the tune. Boom. That's a signal. What is it? That bride is about to enter. Well, I'm standing there as a Pentecostal preacher. The bridesmaids are here, and the groomsmen, and here's the ring bearer. Here stands the groom. He's as nervous as a flea on a hot rock. He don't know where he's coming or going, hanging out or watching. I looked over at him. I said, "Look, man, I'm the one that ought to be nervous, not you. I've got to say more than you have. All you got to do is say, 'I do,' when I tell you." Standing there, I'm watching down that center aisle. Well, all heads are turned toward that door. And in walks that beautiful bride. Here she comes. Not a smudge mark. Not a wrinkle. Oh, my. I'm standing there, and being the kind of Pentecostal preacher I'm standing there, and I'm looking, and I asked God, I said, "God, is this the way it's going to be?" And another little voice way back over here said, "No. You can't hardly stand still. They've passed through the valley. They've struggled up the mountainside. They've suffered disappointment. They've felt the woes of pain. They've wept tears of sorrow. They've known the feeling of disappointment. Ah, my Lord. They lived in this old world. They were not of it. Hallelujah. I can see them now as the God Almighty. They're dawned in the beauty, the righteousness of God Almighty. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west. They're coming from the north. They're coming from the
waves all bursting. Saints of God, and here they come. Here they come. I'm standing at this wedding. I'm supposed to be reserved. And I can't hardly stand still. I told my wife, I said, from now on, when I do a wedding, I'm going to make them sign a contract that when I get ready to have a hallelujah spell, the wedding's over when I get through. Oh, yes, sir. It's going to happen one of these days. It's going to happen. I'm talking about the bride. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. I plan on being a part of that. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep talking to God. I'm going to keep living the life. Because after a while, the love of my life is coming back to me. And I'm going home. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. We talked about the bride's career. Now, let me tell you. We must occupy until he comes. The most important thing is not whether or not your king wins. The most important thing is not whether or not you obtain that level of prestige in that job. The most important thing is not whether or not that you bought a brand new house or you're driving a brand new car. Because I've seen people in Haiti that didn't have shoes. I've seen people in Haiti that had faded cotton dresses. But they walked in right to the house. They don't know what flipping a light switch is, never drove a car. Can you imagine? No running water. And here they come to church. What are they? Bare feet and all. They're the bride. Here they come. Woo! Hallelujah. Here they come. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Our career is this, that we are, instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in the earth. This is the great function of the bride, to bring many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. My dad, when he got saved, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad at 35 years old was dying. But he stood in church house one night and said, oh God, if I'm worth saving, send the preacher back to invite me to the altar. That pastor went back unbeknownst to my father's prayer and said, would you love to pray? My old dad stepped out of that aisle and said, oh God, if you save me, I'll live for the rest of my days. 36 years later, I stood in the funeral parlor and preached this funeral, and I told that crowd of people, I know where he is. But from the time my dad and mom got saved, when they went to church, somebody else was in that car besides them. We had a 1963 Ford coupe, two-door, no air conditioning, just whatever the condition of the air was, that's what you want. We lived in a housing project, and we would take the Beckworth family with us to church. This is not a Ripley's, believe it or not. This is not evangelistically speaking. This is a fact. We had 13 people in that little car. We had people sitting on top of people. The only person that didn't have a child in his lap was my dad, and he was driving. We were a rolling choir. We sang all the way. Every time we stopped at a stop sign, we had a captive audience. I mean, everywhere. Every time we stopped at a red light, they could hear us for a block. I mean, we had to sing quick from from people getting mad. I'm telling you. But we went to church. We loved it. My dad always had somebody else in his car. Years passed. My wife and I have been married and evangelizing for quite a while. And I went home to Georgia one day to visit my mom and dad. When I walked in, Dad said, come here, boy. I was so glad when I finally learned my name was Dad, because my name was Boy for a long time. Come here, boy. Yes, sir. Took me to the back door. Opened the door. There sat a Volkswagen bus. My dad was a mechanic. He didn't like foreign cars, because in those days, nobody knew how to work on them. So the county avoided them. But once my dad learned how to work on them, he loved them. I said, Dad, you don't like foreign cars. Why do you have that Volkswagen? Oh, he said, it's got a beautiful paint job, air conditioned. What are you going to do? I'm going to start running a bus route. Nobody had to vote him in. Nobody had to put a star by his name. It didn't start. He started running the bus route through that community, picking up the children from dysfunctional families and taking them to church. He picked up a family, a boy and a girl. The boy's name was Will Crosby. I will never forget it as long as I live. Dad would tell me stories of Will and his sister. My dad died in 1994, and I was at First Assembly of God in Savannah preaching, and I told a story about my dad and his Volkswagen bus, and about Will. That night after service, a young man walked up to me in the rostrum and stuck his hand out. And he said, Brother Danny, I'm Will. I'm Will. He said, your daddy was my very best friend. Will was one of the boys that was with us. I stood there, dumbfounded. I just didn't have nothing to say. I didn't know what to say. I stood there. I felt those tears start down my face. I could see that bright eyes, that excited attitude. I could see him talking about his life. He said, you see the lady sitting there? Said, yeah. I said, that's my fiance. I said, we're going to get married. I said, I want her to be married. You see the lady sitting by her? Yes. That's my mother. I want her to be married. Wow. Come on. What's the bride supposed to do? This is what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is it. This is what the church has one great career on earth. Her vocation is to be fruitful for Christ. Isaiah 66 and 8 says, for as fruit as Zion prevailed, she brought forth her children. The church objective is to win souls. I heard Pastor Young, when I heard what he said about the number, and then he said, every number is a soul. Somebody said, if I'm not there, somebody else will be there for me. No, your spot will be vacant. Nobody's going to take your place. To every man who's been given a measure of faith. One preacher put it like this. What if this faith is lacking? You may be the reason somebody isn't healed. You may be the reason somebody wasn't saved. Because you love him. Hallelujah. You see, when Zion prevails, when Zion prevails, she brings forth something. We were going up to Beirut, a little church in the jungle of Haiti. We were supposed to have horses, but they didn't show up. So this fat preacher had to walk. Here we are walking, 7 miles in. Here we are. I preached that night, or that day, rather. As I preached that day, I gave the invitation to my interpreter. And down the aisle came a silver-haired old man walking with a cane. He gets in front of me in that pulpit. He looks at me, and through my interpreter, he says, I have a good heart, but I've never been saved. Can we get saved? No. God saved him that day. God saved him. He started back down that aisle, and I said, if you will be faithful, and I'll be faithful. One day we'll walk the street of God where we can speak the same language. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? Talking about Christ. We're getting ready. Getting ready for that wedding. Wow. You expect it. Charles Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll, they had their first child. He's in the waiting room. Well, these other fellas sitting around waiting on the news, you know. And a little older gentleman than Charles was sitting there by him. And he asked Chuck, he said, are you nervous? Oh, no. Just because? You know what that is? I just wonder, you got the newspaper upside down. What are you nervous? Do you need any of these? Woo! I've never seen it in my lifetime, but that poor bride gets nervous. There's so many like that. There's like a turtle. Mama, there's a turtle. And she gets all over teary-eyed. Man, I'm sick. This turtle. Oh, Mama says, it'll be all right, honey. You just know. I want to be just that kind of energy when it comes to serving God Almighty. Because we're fixing to get married. I'm fixing to join the love of my life. Woo! Hallelujah. Great Lord, have mercy. See, I'm going to please him every way that I can. And then finally, verse 17, the Bible said, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people rise to praise thee forever and ever. There's coming a day when we're going to be crowned. You see, the bride is standing high and lifted up, set apart from all order and rank of creation and redemption. She'll be seated with Christ upon his throne. In heaven, she will be admired and praised and adored and talked about. Oh, my. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the fact. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the moment of mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven, where he is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, where we will greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heaveness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believe in you. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He talks about the fact that we have an inheritance that is absolutely death proof. It's incorruptible. It's dirt proof. It's undefiled. It's decay proof. Reserved in heaven for you. We are kept by the power of God. That's wonderful to think about that rapture and that resurrection. It's wonderful to think about that time when we're going to be carried away to immortality, to that place, that everlasting home. But then we come back to the reality of this. We must live here. We must face the trial. And he said, for now, wherein you greatly rejoice. For a season, if need be. You're in heaviness and manifold temptation. That's the trial of your faith being much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. I want that to be there, regardless of the trial. If God is not going to judge us by the fact that we were healed of that disease or that we died of that disease, but he's going to judge us by the fact that we kept the faith through it all. Hallelujah. He's going to judge us by the fact we kept the faith through it all. So regardless of what we have to face here, regardless of our struggle, we may have to take it one step at a time, one day at a time, one second at a time. But I'm here to tell you, the end result is that one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase when I see Christ. Hey, there'll be no imperfection in that bride to come. There'll be no imperfection on that day of wedding. We're going home, hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. We're going to be crowned. Who haven't not seen? I'm telling you, I get excited when I think about it. That eldest parent telling that little bride to be, oh, your eyes again. Did he want to hear about you? Oh, tell me. What color is his hair? How tall is he? What color is his eyes? Tell me about my eyes. All I want this Bible to do, all I want the Holy Ghost to do, is tell me about my love to come. What's the matter? I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by.
Holy Ghost. Wow. Wow. It's all about it, I get excited. Somebody said, well, it doesn't excite me. Well, thank you. Though you haven't seen it. Well, you haven't seen it yet. What is it that makes a person say, I love you, Jesus? What makes a person say, thank you? What are you looking at? You can't see it. Well, what is it?
The Spirit in this. But I make me accept.
It tells me that. I can see that poor little girl. Oh, Lord, she's done left home now. No more ball trips, no more Christmas dinners. It's all over. She's done made an agreement. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to go. I've made a commitment. I'm going to be wed to my pastor. I've never rode a camel in my life, and I ain't never going to ride one if God will let me live in my life. Come on. See that. I can see that poor little girl looking all up to her. She's a happy kid. I'm most certain I see that on the surface. That's what he is. That's what I want to do. You want to go back to life? Forget about tomorrow. Forget about Christmas Day. I don't know. Every step. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. She hung on everyone. Oh, my God, have mercy. I'll be doing it. She hung on everyone. But whenever it came to it, they stopped and bring him in. The new servant said, as far as you can see. Now, that all gets excited. As far as you can see, the master owns it. Hallelujah. It's all about him. What is that thing? What is that?
The old frame.
You know that old frame anywhere? That's what I'm thinking.
They had to help her own that camel. Notice in that Bible, they didn't have to help her own.
Grand meeting. God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want you to know the night comes, you know, get on that piano. My Lord. I've got that don't care feeling that come on with me enough fat.
Wait.
I'm struggling.
Get ready, Gary.
It's going to be a bride. Have you heard? Come on here. Hey, Brother Robert, get ready, buddy. You're going to be a bride. Come on, get ready. You're going to be a bride. Come on. Hallelujah.
And when it lasts, we see the things of Jesus.
Before those things,
other lives along with him.
And when they crown him, Lord, I'll
be there.
When they crown him, Lord, I'll
be there.
This is what heaven means to me.
Stand with me, lift your hand.